by the way, Claudia felt that there was a need, and so, as she told me, she took last week's message to heart and used her creative abilities to design a podium for me for use here. Continuing with Exodus 36, verses 1 and 2. Now Bezalel and Oholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him, to come to the work to perform it. The last time we dealt with this passage, we concentrated on the manufacture of the tent of meeting and concluded with the building of the temple by Solomon. Everything was provided in order that God would have his dwelling place that he designed and ordained within the community of the people whom he had chosen and whom he had rescued from slavery. This time and next, we want to consider the manner in which God gifts his wisdom and his understanding to his creation in order that they would be enabled to bring glory to his name. The fact is that God has created mankind with the ability to know and to understand and to reason and to think. All other creatures live by instinct. Humanity alone was formed by God to be able to use wisdom and knowledge to understand the universe in which he has been created. As God so informed Job in Job 38:30, it is from God that mankind is endowed with these realities. Through the recorded question, God instructed Job as to what he had created within humanity. Job 38:30. Who has put wisdom in the innermost being, or has given understanding to the mind? The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 28:23-29, picked up this theme that God has instilled wisdom and understanding within humanity, specifically targeting the farmer who knows, because of the inner working of God, what to do and how to do it. Isaiah 28:23-29. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat in rows, barley in its place and rye within its area? For as God instructs and teaches him properly. For dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is the cartwheel driven over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a club. Grain for bread is crushed. Indeed, he does not continue to thresh it forever. Because the wheel of his cart and his horses eventually damage it, he does not thresh it longer. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. The truth of the fact that farmers are endowed with what we commonly refer to as common sense was a key factor in the example given by Isaiah. God makes known within the being of mankind the things that make sense in terms of how to live on this earth. It is a gift from God to all men, whether they honor God or not. He has instilled it into the very fabric of humanity in order that man would know that there is a need for someone far outside himself. The psalmist brings this to light as he called out to God in Psalms 51, 1 through 13. In this passage, he made known the fact that only God can truly deal with the issues that plagued the psalmist's knowledge of what was wrong in his life. Psalms 51, 1 through 13. Psalms 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. This is true understanding, evident within one who has the common sense to know that things have gone awry in his life. It was most obvious and apparent to him that he had displeased the Lord God Almighty and had sinned and needed to be cleansed from that sin. This is true wisdom and understanding and knowledge that will lead to finding real life and contentment and satisfaction in the walk that we have on this earth. The other reality that is seen is that this will lead us to declare this truth unto others. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. When we are brought into that living relationship with God, finding the true life that was always God's plan and purpose with His creation, we want to share it with others. Our inner sense of wisdom and understanding recognizes their need to know the truth. We are brought to the place where we willingly and earnestly share what we have been taught with those who are in need. The psalmist knew this course of action, as we have read, and gave himself to it because he also had the understanding of what mankind had chosen to do with that inner need for a relationship with God. This is recorded in Psalms 53, 1 through 3. Psalms 53, 1 through 3. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is anyone who understands, who seeks after God. Every one of them is turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. The full measure of this highlighted turning away from God is echoed later in Scripture by the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:18 through 25. Please open to it so we can read it together. Romans 1:18 through 25. Romans 1, 18 through 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The Apostle describes how mankind in general has absolutely turned away from the wisdom and the understanding that God has instilled of Himself into the depths of their beings. Humanity has replaced that longing for God with all sorts of foolish and demeaning cravings and deceptions in order to try to fill that evident void. Rather than worship God, humanity is worshiping that which the Lord has created. In this deception of the human mind, the wisdom and the understanding that God has given has become twisted and deformed and corrupted. As a result, the Apostle in Romans 3, 9 through 18, makes very evident the truth of the consequences of such activity against the knowledge of God. Romans 3, 9 through 18. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. All the wisdom and the understanding that God has put into the heart of man through the gift of His creative process has been turned away from the glory of God and changed into the stupidity of human madness and folly. Rather than knowing God and obeying His command to give honor and glory to the Creator, man has chosen to disobey and exalt himself and his own pitiful creations. The puny and the maligned are elevated over the magnificence and the awesomeness and the perfection of that which was ever intended to express man's heart of thankfulness unto the Lord God. Consider again the passage of our reading, specifically focusing on the fact that the skills and the understanding are to be used in accordance with that which the Lord commands. Every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Tying together what we have read this morning. We listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, as He commissioned His disciples to go forth and to declare the gospel throughout the world. Much as the psalmist was caused to teach others about the joy of the salvation of God, so are we to teach others as we receive the wisdom and the understanding of the gift of our salvation. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This was carried forward in the early church, as we read in Acts 6, verses 2 through 8, if you would open to it. Acts chapter 6. Acts 6, verses 2 through 8. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables, but select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. As the congregation grew with all its practical needs and issues, the church sought to make itself fully honoring to the Lord in the manner in which all the members functioned together. There was the need for the study of the Word and for prayer by those who were teaching and instructing and spreading the good news. At the same time, there were the needs of the widows and the many who required the various ministries of assistance and encouragement and practical necessities. Therefore, the church as a whole sought after the guidance of the Lord in terms of choosing those who were willing and able to serve the needs of the whole body. These men, much as those of this morning's passage, worked skillfully in obedience to the commandment of the Lord for the sake of the entire Christian community. Notice that their service allowed the disciples to minister freely, and as a result, the Word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. This was the manner in which the whole body of believers gave themselves and their talents to the commandment of Christ in His commission, to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. We will continue next time, Lord willing, with our consideration of how the Lord gives wisdom and understanding. This should always bring forth His honor and His glory in those who recognize and obey Him. So be it. Now Bezalel and Oholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill and everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to perform it. Amen.